Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the animal compound, our animal compound in Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, the animal guy, and this is Wild World on this magical network called Blog Talk Radio. Hello to our listeners from around the world and across North America behind the controls of this radio missile, Billy Willard, our teacher of the year, which will be with us in just a little bit, Amy Swihart, and from the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, just freshly renovated, the Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Why, good evening, Mr. Batson. You got the batches batting down out there at the Batson Reserve?
We want to talk about that for a little bit. And I will warn our, I don't want to warn, our, tell our producer, Billy Willard, be on the lookout for 818. And that's our good friend, Shelley Leibowitz, will be with us tonight. He's going to join us for most of the show.
We're excited about that. We love Shelley.
Oh, we do. He'll be here for the after the hour. But he's going to be with us throughout the show tonight. So we're looking very much forward to that. And I was getting ready to say, we went to Huntington, Indiana, on Tuesday, and which meant we had to go through Kokomo, Indiana. My gosh, when you see what a tornado can do to signs and buildings and trucks and cars and lampposts, it's absolutely, you can watch it on television, it just doesn't give you the same effect. I mean, it was devastating. I could not believe the damage that was done to that community. Of course, we used to live very close to Kokomo.
That's right.
And it was pretty darn scary. And God bless these power and light people, the guys that get up on those cranes and those buckets and work on those transformers and lines and so forth. My gosh, what a job that would be.
Yeah, can you imagine what it would have been like if that 300 herd of camel were still there?
Oh, my Lord. Well, it didn't hit there. It didn't. And what is so wild about something like that is you would see a house completely devastated, and then, like, right across the street, the landscape was perfect. I mean, nothing was harmed whatsoever. And that's what's so wild about tornadoes. Of course, a hurricane, it just flattens everything. But man, these tornadoes, they're just so spooky. I mean, I know you're from Kansas, Dr. Day, and you've probably had experiences with them there.
Yes, we had 7 tornadoes go through in one night. And some night we'll discuss that on the program.
That's just it was very sobering, I have to say. And God bless those people of Kokomo, Indiana.
And how did you fare there at the farm?
Well, we had quite a bit of small limbs and stuff in the yard, which we spent the next day raking up and burning. We had a pretty nice bonfire going, and some smaller trees come down and limbs, but nothing really major.
It went around us for the most part here. We had some bad weather, but it pretty much went around us.
It was just, I'll tell you what, it was just something else. I feel very lucky, very fortunate. Anybody has 4 walls and a roof over their head after seeing something like that, you don't realize how important that is, because it was just absolutely devastating what's done to that community. It's going to be a long time for those folks to have the opportunity. I can't even imagine those towns and cities in Illinois that have been just completely flattened.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal to watch it on the news.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, God bless them all. This half of Wild World is brought to you by Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Weekend and Expo at ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. They have the entire expo on video on demand. It's only $4.99, over 6 hours of footage. And folks, if you follow the Finding Bigfoot and the other programs that are on the Discovery Channel and so forth, you need to download this video. The Weimers have done an incredible job with it. Bob Gimlin from the Patterson-Gimlin film is on it. Steve Calls, the Sasquatch detective. Billy Willard, our producer, and Melissa Hovey and myself. And it was just a great 3 days in New York, but the video is just awesome. So be sure you check it out. They make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for November 21st. Well, I'm pretty excited about having Shelley Leibowitz on the show tonight.
We're all excited. It's just always cool. He's our favorite guest.
Yes, we should have him on at least once a month. Yeah.
Well, he might have something to say about that.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll find out here in a little bit.
I heard the chuckle.
Out in New York tonight.
I'm sorry.
Well, we're going to start out the Wild World News in New York tonight.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Now, I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's pretty spectacular. Two fossilized dinosaur skeletons, dubbed the Montana Dueling Dinosaurs because they appear forever locked in mortal combat, failed to sell Tuesday at a New York City auction. Now, a pushed-in skull and the teeth of one dinosaur embedded in the other suggested a deadly confrontation between them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's pretty rare find. Now, a pre-sale estimate had predicted that the skeletons offered as a single lot would fetch between $7 million and $9 million.
Oh, Shelley Leibowitz should have bought that.
Yes, he should have. Now, they were hoping that a wealthy buyer would donate the skeletons to a public institute, but the price failed to meet the reserve at Bonham's auction. Yeah, the highest offer was only $5.5 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Shelley should have jumped on that one. Now, the fossils are believed to be a Nanotyrannus, smaller relative of the T-Rex, and a newly discovered species, the Chasmosaurine, a close relative of the Triceratops, which lived at the end of the Cretaceous Age, about 65 million years ago.
Yeah, he could have put him in his front yard. Man, the neighbors would have
to love him. Yeah. He's got them.
I recognize that laugh.
They're still available, Shelley.
Well, I thought you're going to take them, you know.
We'll split them. How about we split them?
Okay. We'll keep them at Larry's.
Good idea. All right, could you ever imagine having Christmas in Hawaii?
Oh, my. That sounds like fun.
Well, yes and no. Honolulu, Hawaii. Christmas trees are arriving in the state, infested with slugs.
Oh.
60 shipping containers were inspected over the weekend, and slugs were found in six. Now, the Hawaii Department of Agriculture said trees with the pest will be treated with hot water. And then they're going to have a new Christmas drink. It's a hot pine slug tea.
You know, we had a Christmas, and we had slugs 1 year.
When you were
growing up? I sent my relatives home.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a different kind of slug. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
All right, well, the sandhill cranes are migrating. But,
oh, cool.
By truck. Yeah, 22 young sandhill cranes arrived at a refuge in Jackson County, Mississippi.
Mm.
The birds were hatched at the Audubon Native Institute in New Orleans and delivered this week to the Sandhill Crane National Wildlife Refuge.
Well, good for them. That's kind of cheating. They went by truck.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So I guess it would take a crane to move a truck, but a truck can move cranes.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing, isn't it?
It's a chicken and the egg.
Exactly.
I'm taking notes as we speak.
All right, now Shelley will appreciate this story. Good luck with this idea. San Clemente, California. An Orange County beach plagued by seagulls. Can you imagine that? Seagulls on the beach?
Wow.
Well, it's plagued by seagulls, and they're trying to scare them off with fake coyotes. Yes. Now, park ranger Kevin Estada put a pair of the pretend predators on the beach, hoping to scare the gulls off.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah, in a few days, there'll be seagulls sitting on the coyotes. They'll be covered with seagull dew.
Yes. They'd been better off to dress up a couple basset hounds in coyote suits. And
I just don't understand. That's where the seagulls live. I mean, you're on their territory. If you go out there, then, you know,
you just got
to deal with them.
Absolutely.
All right. Off to Georgia. An African lioness at the Zoo Atlanta has given birth to 4 cubs.
I want one.
4 cubs.
I want one.
Zoo officials say Kiki's new cubs will bond with their mother out of the public eye and likely won't venture until their African plains habitat for about 2 months.
Oh.
That's going to be a very busy mother.
Oh, my gosh. There's nothing cuter than a baby lion. What a personality they have. They're just the funniest.
Yes, I remember one of your lionesses, I believe it was Lindy, ate my favorite pair of moccasins. Do you remember she used to collect everybody's shoes and hide them behind the couch?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, well, she ate my, you owe me a pair of moccasins.
Well, we were on the road one time. I think we were like in Syracuse, New York, and dumb us just let the lion cub run around the motel while we slept at night. And for some reason, I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, turned the light on. There was the lion chopping down on my brand new pair of dingo boots. Luckily, I woke up, or they would have been history.
Well, just be grateful your feet weren't in them.
Yeah. So I've been in that circumstance before, though.
All right, all's well that ends well. Springville, Pennsylvania, Game Commission officials say 2 8-point bucks were rescued after falling down an abandoned well.
Wow, that was they were bucks, old man. That's a project. Get those.
Yeah, as you can imagine, they were fighting beforehand. They were out in the yard bucking around.
Yeah,
and ended up in a well.
This doesn't get any better.
Well, good news if you like bats, and we do, James Township, Michigan.
You better
bat.
Two
newcomer bat species, the hoary bat and the red bat, have turned up during a survey at the Siawassee National Wildlife Refuge.
What wildlife refuge is that again?
The Siawassee.
Oh, okay.
Now, they did a study, and they found 229 bats, probably a lot more.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, with the white nose syndrome destroying millions of bats the last few years, few bats we can come across, that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
All right, now here's a follow-up to a story we did back in March. I'm sure you'll remember this. South Carolina, the Department of Natural Resources has released into the mountains 3 black bear cubs that were found in a box on March 1st.
Oh, good for them.
Do you remember that story?
I certainly do.
Now, there were 2 males and a female named Benny, Jerry, and Carrie. Now, they grew from 3 pounds when they found them in the box to 100 pounds.
Wow.
Today,
wow.
And they turned them loose, so they're hopefully they won't raise their kids in boxes.
Well, you know what November the 7th was, don't you, Dr. Day?
November the 7th? No.
That's when black bears head to their winter dens. On November the 7th.
Wow.
Now that's according to the Farmer's Almanac, so for what it's worth. But, yeah.
Not the 6th or the 8th, the 7th.
The 7th, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes, it is. And do you know what November the 17th was?
No, tell me.
Well, it was the full moon, and you know what that moon's called?
No.
The Beaver Moon.
November
7th. In there. I'm just not going to do it.
The Beaver Moon.
That's right. That's the Beaver Moon.
Well, somehow they go together.
They certainly do.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, it's been a good year for salmon and a bad year for salmon. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game said Southeast Alaska commercial fishermen next year are not likely to match the record for pink salmon that was caught this year.
Oh.
Yeah, the department predicts a catch of around 22 million pink salmon next year. But this year, fishermen took in a whopping 94 million pink salmon.
You know, that's a lot of fish.
Yes,
when,
it is.
When is it going to run out? That was always my question.
94 million pink salmon.
My goodness.
So it's if funny. You like salmon, the price should be down this year.
Well, I had salmon tonight. Square salmon. You know, the kind.
Yeah,
I've seen those before. The frozen ones, yeah.
But, you know, there's nothing better than smoked salmon.
That's the absolute truth. Mm. Or a smoked Dr. Day.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, what is Dr. Day smoking?
It's hard to keep him lit.
He's dealing with that, Shelley. He's dealing with it. We're so sorry, Dr. Dave.
All right, on with the news. Miami, Florida. Now, we've heard about this for the last few years. A public hunt for Burmese pythons in Florida's Everglades won't be repeated this year.
No.
Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission spokeswoman said Monday. Instead, the state is beefing up established programs that will train licensed hunters to be aware and to take care of the pythons.
You know, the whole problem would be solved quickly if they just put a bounty on them, if it is a problem. I mean, every time they put a bounty on coyotes, wolves, mountain lions, wherever that bounty was put on, they were wiped out. And the pythons would be the same way.
Well, I got to tell you, I think that the problem is bigger than that. I think that they need to put really, really hefty fines for people bringing any kind of endangered animals into the country. You know, the Everglades being overrun by things that don't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little island off, just giving you a, up at, by the bay, the first key. And then it just got monkeys.
Hmm.
The entire island is nothing but monkeys.
Yeah.
Sounds like
Dr. People bring these things in and they let them loose. So there's always snakes down there and, you know, it's all kinds of things that just don't belong and really screwing up the environment.
Yeah, the Everglades is... Well, the pythons were mainly released because of Hurricane Andrew and then all the wildlife importers that had them in captivity. They just got blown free, so
well,
too bad.
I got to tell you something. I lived in South Florida when Andrew went through.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived right on the beach between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. And, you know, it was horrendous, you know. I walked that front door in the morning, and the road is like 2 feet deep with water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, live fish, very large fish, swimming around.
Oh, God.
And you got to see these people jump down on top of them like, you know, it's a rodeo. Trying to take the fish home.
My goodness.
Yeah, now I was on Key Marathon when Hurricane Jean was coming in, and I was diving, and the water was covered with jellyfish, except they were on the bottom, turned upside down with their tentacles floating up. because of the water temperature change.
Wow.
And I was doing everything I could not to stir them up while I was swimming, but they were just everywhere. Yeah, so when a hurricane comes in, it changes a lot of things.
Yeah, it does.
All right, we're running just a little long tonight, so I'm going to get with the local news.
Okay.
All right, Evansville, Indiana. The State Department of Natural Resources has boosted its presence along the Wabash River in an effort to prevent an illegal harvesting of shovel-nose sturgeon roe. Yes, sturgeon eggs, which fetches a hefty price on the global caviar market, more than $300 a pound once it's processed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I've never had sturgeon roe.
No, I can't say I have either.
And I'm not sure that I want to. $300
a pound. It's kind of salty.
Yeah.
I'm not having any.
That's the voice of Shelley Leibowitz, and he would know.
Maybe Shelley will send us some.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
All right, Bloomington, Indiana. Investigators with the Indiana Occupational Health and Safety Administration has fined the Exotic Feline Rescue Center $69,000 for safety violations discovered after a tiger mauled a woman at the center in June.
Oh, God.
You remember that, don't you?
Yes, yes, we do. They're about 30 minutes from us. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yep. All right, well, let's get on with the facts of the day so we can get Shelley and find out what he's doing.
Yeah.
Oh, and our teacher of the year.
Oh, Mrs. Swihart.
That's right. All right, we're talking turkey tonight. It takes 75 to 80 pounds of feed to raise a 30-pound tom turkey.
Oh, Jesus. How much? 70, 80 pounds?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, now a 16-week-old turkey is called a fryer. A 5 to 7 month old turkey is called a young roaster. Isn't it nice we have cooking names for them?
That is nice.
Instead of calling it Ted.
Yeah. Now, turkey has more protein than chicken or beef.
Well, I believe that.
And I don't know who did this, but turkeys have 3,500 feathers at maturity.
Somebody with a lot of time on their hands.
Somebody with a lot of time, yeah. And I'm glad it wasn't either of us.
Really.
All right, well, that's the Wild World News for November the 21st.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. We always appreciate the great efforts he puts forth each Thursday night at 10 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. And I encourage everyone to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, our wildlife education programs, and our pretty cool Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. It's a closed group, so you have to request to join, but hey, we'll plug you right in with lots of great animal facts each week and our animal quiz and all the latest going on with our animals here at our animal compound here in Clinton Falls, Indiana. All this makes it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on, it's that time, Blog Talk Radio. Our hands. Mrs. Swihart joined us.
That's right. I always turn my phone way up when that song comes on. I don't know why. I just love it. Yep. Makes me want to dance.
Well, you know what I sing when it comes on? I want to rock and roll and party all night with Dr. Day.
Yeah. Yeah, I figure you could say that. Kind of rhymes fit, I suppose, but anyway, if we say my middle name, you could say you want to rock and roll and party every night with Amy Kay. How about that one?
Oh, no, there we go.
Rock and roll all night and party every day.
I want to introduce one of our students tonight participating in the program all the way from Hollywood, California. The Honorable Shelley Leibowitz.
Yeah, hello.
What am I, a judge? The Honorable?
Honorable. All right. Take it when you can.
That's right. So what's going on up in Warsaw, Indiana?
Warsaw, Indiana. A lot of rain. That's pretty nasty, but... Oh, you know, just a bunch of education. That's
yep.
what's going on. Yep, education, only for the best, I tell you. These little goobers. Yeah.
So what happened?
I got a funny for you.
Okay. We're sitting down.
I always have a funny. Which, by the way, today, because we count down, I've told you this, we count the number of days we've been in school. Today is day 69. Yeah. So we talked a little bit. I have a song for day 69. 69 is just fine. Let's see, how does it go? Something about we turn in a circle and clap our hands, something like that. But anyway, it's about 69, and I said, boys and girls, I just love this song, and I was teasing the teacher next door about how it was her favorite song. And the kids had the nerve to say...
Jesus.
Hey, it's just a number. Knock it off. The kids had the nerve to say, we know. Somebody said, believe this, we know why it's your favorite number. And I thought, oh, holy crap. I said, oh, really? And they said, well, yes, it's because you're 69 years old. I was like, phew, thank you, thank you. Yes, I'm 69 years old. Not quite, but, you know. I was never so happy for an answer, which leads me to the original funny I was going to tell you.
Yeah.
So on the 65th day of school, which obviously was a few days ago,
yeah.
65th day of school, I asked the kids, I said, boys and girls, if I gave each one of you 65 magic seeds and you could plant them and grow whatever you wanted, what would you grow? And, of course, every hand goes up and you get things like puppies and candy bars and dollar bills and, you know, just kid things.
Yep.
And the sweetest, sweetest girl had her hand up, and she's like the perfect student. And I called on her, and she said, Mrs. Quinehart, I would grow some balls. No. So there again, I took a risk because I do that. I said, oh, really? What kind of balls would you grow? And the little sweet thing said, well, I think some basketballs and some soccer balls. And another one of those woo moments, you know.
Big balls.
Where, yeah, because it can be a little worrisome. But very, very funny, because inside I was just chuckling, you know. But just a childlike answer, which was very sweet. So, yeah. There's a couple of funnies for you from first grade.
Well, so
you know,
what did they have any questions for us this week?
Well, hey, you know, are we doing a show next week? By the way, you never told me. Shouldn't you tell the teacher?
No.
I mean, really?
No show next. No, Billy Willard is going from Virginia to West Virginia.
Billy, cell phone, Billy. Cell phone.
A studio don't work good on a cell phone.
Okay, Billy. Whatever. We'll excuse you just because it's Thanksgiving. I was prepared to come in and work, but it's all right. Yeah. I don't hold grudges either, by the way, Billy. So... But anyway, okay, so that means that we're going to talk turkey for a little bit. And I heard Dr. Day share some turkey things. But
yeah.
Dr. Day did not share this one, and it was so funny. And this was not one that I shared with the kids, by the way. Which means I'm keeping it PG. I really am.
Okay.
But it is a turkey fact.
Okay.
Turkey breeding has caused turkey breast to be so large that a lot of turkeys cannot even stand up. They fall over all the time.
Oh, my. I had an aunt like that.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say, I think that happens with people, too.
I know, girl really must be overeating.
I know. It's not overeating. It's something in the chemicals they put in the food, I'm pretty sure. Because, see, back in the old days when I was a kid, you didn't have to buy a training bra until you were, like, in the eighth grade. Now you got to buy one in third grade.
Oh,
so
my God.
Right. Anyway,
well, that's off the turkey subject.
That's off the turkey subject, okay?
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know there's no turkeys in Alaska unless you buy a frozen one?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they probably have moose on the Thanksgiving table.
Maybe they do.
Yeah.
And what is that thing that hangs down from the moose?
Oh, I didn't have to come up.
Oh, Shelly should remember.
You remember something?
Yeah, when I was a child. Well, I have a question for you, Larry.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll know this. When did turkey become the major food for Thanksgiving? Because
well,
the Native Americans didn't have it.
No.
The pilgrims ate with the Native Americans, and they were eating, you know, oysters and clams and all kinds of fish and seafood.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I was wondering when turkey. Who got pissed off the turkeys?
Hey, you know what? It was Mexico where they first, I think they first, I don't know. Mr. Bassin, you're the expert. Speak.
Well, the Native Americans did not feast on the turkey because they considered the turkey to be stupid, and they were afraid that that stupidity would be transferred to them.
That explains why we don't eat men.
I'm just being silly.
I love men.
I really do. The first Thanksgiving dinner with the pilgrims and the Indians, they ended up running out of food. That it wasn't enough food to feed them, so they brought in turkey to fill in the hole.
Now, is that true? Did your staff come up with that?
As I remember it.
As you remember it. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, so much for that. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, in all my turkey readings with kids, we read that they originally turkey was a big thing in Mexico, and it eventually went to Europe and then ended up here. So the thing that the Indians, Native Americans, tended to use turkeys for mainly was their feathers, and that was to stabilize their arrows.
Oh.
Now, how sophisticated did I just sound?
Well,
not bad.
Well,
yeah.
I feel like I owe you a dollar.
I mean, I said that, and then I thought to myself, dang, that was pretty good.
It was.
I surprised myself about my own self.
That's why we classify this show educational. That's
yeah.
But yeah.
So anyway, yeah.
I turkeys, they're very difficult to hunt, though. You know, it's quite a challenge for a hunter. I can still remember we had a petting zoo set up at a sportsman show one year, and we had a turkey, and here came a bunch of turkey hunters, and, of course, they have these turkey calls.
Yeah.
They actually have competitions who's the best turkey caller. And they hung over the fence where that turkey was at, and they got out their turkey calls and gobble, 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 you know, for like 20 minutes. And the turkey was not saying nothing. So I walked up behind him, and I just went, gobble, gobble, gobble. And that thing, instantly.
Yeah.
You're doing turkey calls, and the turkey sitting there having a ham sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, did you know that only the males gobble? Only the
really?
Males gobble. Yes, the hens do not gobble.
Mm.
Hens will make a clicking noise, but only the males gobble. Yeah.
Well, that's
We had a turkey because, you know, we have chickens.
Yeah.
And we had a turkey. We actually, it was about 2 years ago, we went to get a turkey because my son at the time, he was like 14, and he said, you know what, I want to provide the turkey for the family this year for Thanksgiving. So 1st of November, we went, we got a turkey and brought this turkey home, and The turkey within a couple days had been pardoned and was not going to become Thanksgiving dinner. Her name, she was named Twyla, and she actually was a lot of fun. She followed the kids around in the yard. She got pretty fat. I'm pretty sure she was one of those that had the large breasts.
Yeah.
She followed the color. And, of course, every night they put her away, you know, in the barn. And then we did wake up one morning, and she was shredded all over the backyard. It was completely devastating. I had to take a half a day off work. My kids were crushed. But one of them had forgotten to latch the barn, and but that was terrible. But I kept telling them Twyla lived a much longer life than Twyla would have ever lived because we had probably a year and a half before that happened. So, but, yeah. She was actually, you know, I know that people say they're stupid, but, you know, she actually was very tame. We had fun. The kids would run and chase her. It was fun. But, and she did not gobble. And part of the, you know, of course, that's when we discovered that only the males gobble. We were kind of wishing we would have a gobbler. But, yeah. And, you know, turkeys roost in trees. Did you know that they have a favorite tree?
I did.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they tend to prefer oak trees.
Really?
Yes. Oak
trees.
I know. So I guess they have horrible, horrible night vision. They can't see anything at night.
Well, that's why they nest in trees. That's all their predators are on the ground. That explains that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, with all these fascinating turkey facts, I'm afraid we're going to take a very, very short break.
All righty.
Just stay put, everybody. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat. Oh, boy, a kitty cat. Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling. What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
It's Bobcat Heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
We're Rascal Flatts. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
I want to remind everyone, after the hour tonight from Beverly Hills, California, our good friend and record executive, music producer, movie producer, we hope, Shelley Leibowitz will be with us. He's got a brand new artist. I believe Shelley, if it's not correct, he's the most popular artist in South America.
He's very popular all over South America and Ecuador, where he's originally from. Is like the monster star there.
We're going to have a chance to hear a couple of his tunes, and that'll be happening after the hour with Shelley Leibowitz here on Wild World. And we were talking turkey just a little bit ago. I had no interesting turkey facts except I did have a young man that worked for me years and years and years ago. In fact, he's the director of the herpetology at the Rio Grande Zoo in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I think they call it the Albuquerque Biopark now. And he used to complain because we had a turkey, and I said, "What's it like getting bit by that turkey?" Because it hated him. He says, "It's like getting pinched by a pair of needle-nosed pliers." So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I've heard that.
You probably experienced it.
No, actually, our turkey never once bit anybody.
Wow.
So, usually I find somebody that has a turkey to bring in to the first graders to see, too, and I didn't find one this year, so I'm not going to be able to have one. I wish Twyla was around, doggone it, but...
Well, isn't it great how animals, you take them into the classroom? I know when you took chickens into your classroom, that was quite popular.
Yes, and you know what? When I bring the baby chicks in the spring, it's funny, I can leave like a 5-gallon bucket with two chicks in it in the corner of the room, and I'll tell the kids, I'll say, "Boys and girls, they've never been to school before, and they get scared really easily of all this noise. So we really have to be quiet today, and the kids won't make any noise the whole day. They'll whisper." I'm like, okay, every single day I don't even need to put chicks in it, doggone. I'll just put a bucket up high and I'll say there's a couple chicks in there. We've got to be quiet. And they probably would be really quiet all day.
Well, that'd work for Dr. Day, I'm sure.
Yeah. But no, it's, you know, there's something, when I brought the chickens in, you know, at the beginning of the school year, it's a highlight for the kids. They're tame. Every kid held one. I took a picture of every kid holding a chicken and printed it off, and they took it home at the end of the day, and I had one put in the newspaper for the kids. It was just, you know, a really cool thing for them, and people kind of laughed at me, but I said, you know what, no, there wasn't one kid in this room that had ever held a chicken or touched a real chicken before. So, you know,
yeah,
it seems simple, but yet not so much, so.
And you see, we work so hard. We bring in baboons and lemurs and serval cats and tigers and bears and wolves. And the kids get excited over a chicken.
Well, seeing those, yeah. Because, you know, you don't see those around.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And I have
you're extra special, Larry. You just are.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, big hello to Northwest Elementary School in Huntington, Indiana. We had a chance to see this week, and tomorrow we're off to Heltonville in Bedford, Indiana. Dr. Day, what does the town of Heltonville ring a bell to you?
Heltonville? No.
Indiana basketball legends from Heltonville.
Larry Bird?
No.
Larry Bird's from French Lick.
No, this legend played for Indiana University. Didn't really go on to the NBA.
Oh, heck, I don't know. When you start talking about basketballs, I thought about 65 magic seeds that you plant in the grass, in the yard.
Bobby Knight.
No, Damon Bailey, I'm sorry.
Oh, Damon Bailey.
Yeah, really. But anyway.
Oh. I meant to say that.
You did.
Yes, that's what first graders say. I was thinking of exactly that. I was going to say it, but you said it before I had a turn.
He was trying to tip of my tongue.
Was.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Can you imagine being in my room all day?
Yeah. Oh, I've been in there for 2 hours, and that was wonderful.
I know, you sort of forced that out, didn't you?
And
I think you're lying.
And what do you tell the children when they want a piece of candy?
What do you mean when I tell them? I don't remember. What do I tell them?
Oh, you say, what was the phrase.
I do lots of things, but...
make it... Oh, my God.
Make a choice?
Yes.
Make a choice, yes. I mean, I just have a little dish, and there's different kinds, and I just look at them, and I'll say, you know, I'll say, like, Madeline, you're doing a great job. Make a choice. And they know to come to the dish. If they don't want that, they put their name in the drawing box at the that I shake every Friday, and they get Cardinal Cash, which is our school prize. But, yeah, and then you came in when you watched my kids. I mean, geez, they were all scared to speak when you were in the room. I think it's because you're all hairy. I said to the kids, I had to go do parent pickup duty, and I said to the kids, Mr. Batson, or I said to you, actually, I think, I said, Mr. Batson, if you notice anybody doing the right thing, tell them to go ahead and make a choice. And you torture them a little bit, too, I think, because every kid sat there, you know, they put their heads down, their backpacks are on their back, and they're waiting for their bus to come, and they just sat there totally silent, just looking at you like, I think it was probably those eyes of, pick me, please pick me, please pick me. But yet they were sort of scared. And then I think, if I recall, you would say, like, Jacob, make a choice. And that kid would, like, go get it something and then go sit down. And then you would just, another one, Lisa, make a choice. I think you enjoyed that.
I enjoy the power of intimidation. Especially
you. Well, you know what? You had a box with you. If I remember, you had a Rubbermaid container.
Yeah.
And it was sitting in the classroom, and I think the kids all wondered what the heck was going to pop out of that box and scare the living daylights out of them. I think it was a gator, because I don't think you wanted to leave it out because it was too cold for it or something.
Yeah, that's true. That's
scared
right.
It around you. Oh, yeah. So.
Of course, there's an alligator right now that we're training in our bathtub named Silas, Uncle Si.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
Dynasty.
So do the children have any questions for Dr. Day and myself and, of course, our special student today, Shelley Leibowitz?
Yes. Well, sure. Okay. What do more people fear than death? What is, like, the biggest fear? They fear this more than death.
Tapioca pudding.
Oh, gosh, I sort of fear that one, yeah.
Public speaking.
Oh, this is an animal show.
Oh, okay.
Creatures, insects, things
snakes.
Like that.
Sharks.
I try and stay with the theme, even though I get distracted.
What did Mr. Leibowitz say?
Sharks.
Oh, sharks, yeah.
Here it is.
Land
ready?
Sharks.
Land sharks, yeah.
It's spiders. More people fear spiders than death.
That was going to be my next
one.
Wow.
Can you believe that? I don't really like them, but I don't think... I think I probably fear death a little more than spiders.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, here's a really crazy one, and this one, we could go all sorts of directions with this one. Okay, there's and I'll tell you it's an insect. There's an insect that always falls over on its right side when intoxicated. An insect.
Dr. Day?
Dr. Day.
Dr. Day.
Well, this is one of those things that I just don't quite get, but... Let me just tell you, because I don't think you know it, do you? Any of you?
We're not done yet.
An insect
okay.
That falls over what?
A boll weevil.
Nope.
Cockroach.
When intoxicated, so there's an insect bar and grill?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
They go in, get loaded, and come out and fall over?
It has too many shots of whiskey, and then when it falls over, it always falls on its right side. It is an ant. So I thought they might have made a spelling error on this, and I thought they might have meant A-U-N-T, like maybe your aunt, all over on her right side when she's intoxicated. But no, it was just, you know, the insect ant.
Oh,
now, how does one get intoxicated, I want to know?
Fermented fruit.
Yeah.
Well, I guess so.
we had a tree that each year the robins would come in and they'd eat these berries on the tree, and they couldn't even fly. They'd just roll around on the ground. And now that I think about it, they fell on their right side.
Wow.
That's where you found me after, under the berry tree.
I'm telling you what, next time I go to a bar and someone falls over, I'm going to rush to the crowd immediately, and I'm going to force my way through, and I'm going to see if they're on their right side, because I'm wondering if it works for people, too.
Well, maybe. Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought that was really strange.
That is.
Yeah. Hey, did you know which creature has urine that glows under a black light? Don't even talk about all the things that glow under a black light. I think of hotels, and then I think, ew. And I want to think about it. But there is a creature.
I'm going to say, now I know when I lived in South America, scorpions glowed under a black light.
Yes, they do. But this is the urine, the pee.
You know, thanks for breaking that down for us.
Let me tell you something. Oh, I teach first grade, you know.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, it's really, really quite simple. It's not really anything wild and crazy.
Yeah, lightning bug.
It would be a cat. A cat's urine glows under a black light.
Really?
Yes.
What, just cat-cat?
Just cat-cat.
Or like tiger cat?
Well, you know, they're all of the same family, so my guess would be that all of them have glowing pee.
Oh, I'm getting a black light going out to my compound right now.
But, I mean, it just said cat. Our research just said cat. I'm guessing it's the whole family. You know?
Yeah, put your staff on that yesterday.
I shall.
Somebody test that out for the next show.
Okay. We'll do that.
And that's,
just go
that's
to a litter box.
Easy thing to find out.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. I want answers the next time.
Well,
you know what?
Show, just tell everybody to turn their lights out and see if anybody sees anything.
Yeah, that's a good idea. This is why we enjoy Shelley Leibowitz so much. Full of good ideas.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So, you know, I figure, you know, you have more than one kind of cat in your area, Mr. Batson. So, therefore, you should be the one to do the test, because you can check all of those cats and see if it is just all cats or if it's just domestic cats.
I'm going to do that. Maybe tonight I get a long extension cord in the black light. Yeah.
Go out there. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I have this vision in my head now of Larry running through the woods holding a black light, being chased by something.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, just get it to pee on you, and we'll find out.
You may as well, while you're at it, you may as well check bear pee, you know, all that stuff. You may as well. You already got the extension cord going. I mean, shoot, after you get the knots out of the extension cord, you're good to go for a while.
Yeah.
As in my house, every extension cord has a knot in it.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. So, people accuse people of putting knots in. Oh, yes, I purposefully go out and put knots in all the extension cords just to make all of you mad. No.
Oh, it's true.
How does that happen?
I don't have a clue.
It's my spare time. I just sit out there and I knot them up as much as I can.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you want another one? You need another fact to continue your life?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, did you know that in 18 months, two rats make over a million more rats? In just 18 months, those two rats are so busy that they can make over a million relatives. And then all of those relatives are making millions of more relatives. And hopefully they all run to New York City.
Well, wow, that's extraordinary. Well,
that is a sex life. Oh, PG. Oh dear. Yeah, they're pretty busy. I take it. How do they have time to eat cheese or gnaw those holes through the walls that look like little tunnels? You know.
Yeah. Or my phone cord.
See those on top of dairy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? Someone saw one, not a rat, but a mouse in the school last week. So all of us chicken teachers, that would be like me. I don't like them. I, of course, we all run out. We're like, traps. We want traps. I just don't like the whole scare factor. That's what gets me.
Well, you don't want to frighten the children. I mean, that's what I'm for.
Well, the kids probably would not be afraid. It would probably be Mrs. Wyhart more than anything. It really would. I'm pretty sure. I would be on the table, and then probably like half of the class would be like, "Don't worry, Mrs. Wyhart, we'll protect you." We're only 6 years old, but we'll protect you.
we need a video of that.
Oh yeah, I know. But I did have that happen when I taught fifth grade. This was back when I was a new teacher, you know, back in the long, long time ago. But and I had a family of mice. A husband and wife make their home in my snow boots that were in my cabinet for recess duty.
Yeah.
And I saw the lovely fur sticking out the top, so I knew something was up. And of course, I called for a custodian. They turned the boots upside down, and all the little babies pour out pinkies, you know,
mm-hmm.
all the little
Yeah.
And then they stirred stuff around in the cabinet and outrun grown adult mice. And the kids are like, "We'll get them. Don't worry. We'll get them." And I'm like, and I was down the hall. I ran down the hall like it was like an intruder.
Oh, my God.
I know. I think back on that, I'm like, what a big weenie. Oh, PG. Please. Oh, gosh. That's about three strikes for me.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, once again, a wonderful job done by Mrs. Amy Swihart, letting us know the latest in the first grade. It's just been absolutely extraordinary tonight. Myself, Dr. Day, and our special guest, Shelley Leibowitz, have been truly enlightened by the facts and information that you had a chance to present. It was, as always, wonderful.
Oh, well.
She left.
That's the same informative.
I am not near as wonderful as you all are.
Oh, there you go.
We have one moment.
I am thankful for you.
My gosh. We want to tell everyone that next week the program will not be on because it is Turkey Day and we're going to be...
It's because of Billy Willard. Hello.
That's right. It is
Billy.
Because of Billy Willard. He's gone to West Virginia and he's not going to be around. And...
with family of all people.
But we have
I think you should get out his phone number. So anybody who is upset about the show not being on can call him.
That's a great idea.
Brilliant
Billy.
Idea. We speak. Will that be okay, Billy?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's call and complain.
Do that to you.
Yeah, no, we love Billy Willard. He does a wonderful job. He keeps the show on the air. We want to thank McGregor Mountain Lodge for sponsoring this half of the program. God love them. They've had a terrible disaster in Estes Park, Colorado, 20 inches of rainfall one night, but the beautiful lodge and cabins, they're open, and they got the main highway 34 open now. It goes through the big Thompson Canyon, so you can get to Estes Park and go because it's absolutely beautiful right there on the front range of the Rockies, absolutely extraordinary scenery, and boy, the cabins are just great, and wildlife all around you, so Rocky Mountain National Park is open, and you need to check them out. Michael Hodges is the proprietor of McGregorMountainLodge.com. It's almost that time for After the Hour with our special guest, Shelley Leibowitz. This is Larry Batson, and you've been listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.
¿Quién será la que me quiera a mí? Ay, ¿quién será? ¿Quién será? ¿Quién será la que me dé su amor? Ay, ¿quién será? ¿Quién será? Yo no sé si la podré encontrar. Ay, yo no sé, yo no sé. Yo no sé si volveré a querer. Yo no sé, oh, yo no sé. He querido volver a vivir la pasión y el calor de otro amor. De otro amor que me hiciera sentir, que me hiciera feliz como antes. Ay, ¿quién será la que me quiera? Quiera a mí, oye, ¿quién será? ¿Quién será la que me dé su amor? ¿Quién será? ¿Quién será? He querido volver a vivir la pasión y el calor de otro amor que me hiciera sentir, que me hiciera feliz. Ay, ¿quién será la que me quiera a mí? Vamos, ¿quién será? ¿Quién será? ¿Quién será la que me dé su amor? Oye, ¿quién será?
My, our special guest tonight from SRI Records, Shelley Leibowitz, all the way from Hollywood, California. Good evening, Shelley.
Good evening.
Hello.
Well, tell us about that exciting artist. That's just too cool.
There's something about, you know, in a lot of ways, she's like the Latin American Frank Sinatra. He can do those kind of songs. But then he does something like this with Sway, and, you know, you can't sit still. You know, it's kind of infectious.
What is his name again?
Egberto Garcia.
That's right. He messages me from time to time because we had a chance to talk about him before on the show. And what an amazing voice. Did that make you dance, Mrs. Swihart?
You know, I'm not really going to tell what I did. But I have a big desk. I do.
Yeah.
That ought to help you out a little bit. And you know what? He messages you, but he doesn't message me.
Well,
doesn't he know which one of us is the better looking?
Well, that goes without saying, you know.
I'm just teasing. Yeah. I know. It was very catchy. Yeah, I wanted to get up and dance. I didn't, but I thought about dancing on my desk. But I also knew that if my desk were to collapse, you would have heard it, and I wasn't going to do that.
Well. So that's very exciting, Shelley, man. So you'll be releasing his album, I assume? Or
Yeah, we did. It'll be coming out shortly. But the thing that this guy is, he's been all over Latin America for a number of years. And he's a big star. You know, all South and Central America.
Mm-hmm.
Even in some parts of Europe. It just amazed me. And I think what's even more amazing is he was on TV in Mexico. He's been on TV everywhere. And a couple of people mentioned him to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been in this country.
Wow.
Well,
so, you know, I arranged for to get him a manager, and they're working on his visa right now.
Well, he'll be big.
He'll be all over the place in no time.
Well, you know, because he's been a star throughout that whole region for a decent amount of time, he can play to any Latin American audience. Because when he goes to Cuba, you know, he does different song lists than when he goes to Brazil. You know, mm-hmm. different all over.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I would think the guy's got a really nice voice. And whether he's doing something, you know, a slow ballad or something upbeat or an American cover, because he does a couple of Michael Franks songs instead. He does Billy Joel. So.
You've worked with just about everybody in the industry.
Yeah, I saw a list. It was pretty impressive.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's really neat.
I've been lucky, you know.
Yeah.
From touring
course,
with the
Royal. Oh, some of those people are no longer with us, so, you know, it's like, I don't know. I just think how lucky, because people like me, we would never have a chance. And some of those are some really great names that will be known forever.
Well,
yeah.
From touring with the Rolling Stones.
You know, I was pretty close with Elvis Gerald, and Ray Brown Jr., her son, you know, I produced albums with him. I have him signed to my label.
Mm-hmm.
I have sitting in my bedroom in my home a big box of photographs that were Ella's that
wow.
she collected throughout the years. You know, and it's some of it is pictures taken in the backyard of her house in Beverly Hills. We were having the barbecue with Frank Sinatra and Louis Armstrong and all these other people. You never see them in that context.
Yeah.
And then I also have a couple of framed pictures that from presidents to her.
Jeez.
Yeah, one from Lyndon Johnson, the other. But, you know, it's just amazing. She was an amazing woman.
Yeah.
She had a very, very hard childhood. Very rough. And with everything, she ended up living on the street for a long period of time, up until the teenage years. But with everything, she never smoked, never cursed, never drank. She didn't do anything. She kept her dignity throughout, which I think is amazing.
Right.
Especially in that old climate, we should say, or, you know, there's so many, well, you know, there's so many temptations in the industry.
You know, when she got arrested in Texas because Norman Granz, her manager, was, you know, barking at everybody down there that they can't treat the black performers any different than the white. So backstage, getting ready for the show, and a bunch of these Texas policemen come in, and they walk into Ella's dressing room, and finally, annoyed your kid, smoking a joint, and, you know, a couple of guys are shooting craps in a bar area. So they arrest all 11. And take them down to the police station. And Ella's sitting in the cell, and this one cop walks over there, and he says, "Aren't you that singer Elvis Gerald?" And she says, "Yes, I am." He says, "My wife loves you. Can I get an autograph?"
Yeah, would you let me out of here?
She said to him, "You know what? if you let us, I'll give you as many autographs as you want if you let us out of here. And that's what happened to Adam Wilde.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of such a different time. Oh.
What about that great story you would tell about Marilyn Monroe and, I can't think who the singer was. She was trying to break into Hollywood and play some of the clubs.
It was Ella.
Yeah.
It used to be a really big, fancy nightclub, what they called the Supper Club, right outside of Beverly Hills. And Marilyn Monroe had to learn to sing for the first time in one of her movies, and the studio just gave her a stack of Ella Fitzgerald albums. And they said, listen and learn. So that's what she did. So she said, when I say, you know, my combo, why do you have Ella Fitzgerald in here? And so we didn't book any black acts in the show. So she said, I tell you what, if you book Ella Fitzgerald in here, you can advertise that I will be ringside with Arthur Miller, her husband, at the time, and you can advertise it. And the guy said, what? Still, yeah, she said, I promise I'll be here every night. And that's what happened. And she and Ella became very good friends after that.
That's just amazing. What a kind person, too.
So did you ever think about writing a book about all these stories?
Yeah, I've had people ask me, so it just takes a lot of time to do.
Yeah.
You know? I'd rather sit here and tell you guys.
You know what? I'll tell you a really good one.
I took John Lennon and wanted to meet Ella. I take John over to a rehearsal she's doing with Count Basie. And Lennon looked like she was the Queen of England. He bowed. He did the whole thing, and he was like, and I was like, God, snap out of it. Ella saw that he was really nervous meeting her. So she said, come here, honey, give me a hug. And just all of a sudden, it was this wonderful moment that they had.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, that's really neat.
Very cool.
You don't have to write these stories down yourself, you know. I think that you can get somebody to sit next to you while you're telling them, and they can write them down. And then, you know, isn't that how a lot of people do it?
To break it down through time periods and everything else as well.
Yeah.
Well,
sometimes you don't want those things lost, you know. Sometimes it's nice to keep those thoughts around even after you're gone.
Yeah, well, so much has changed, and so many of those great people are gone.
Yeah, but. I know. Yeah. And look how things have changed. Look how times have changed, and look at the quality, I almost think, hate to say, but of some of what we see now is a little bit upsetting. But I don't know. I guess that's a sign of the times.
Well,
yeah, it is.
And, you know, with the quality of artists, you know, they have, like, the American Idol and the X Factor, which is, you know, trying to make instant celebrities. And as we've just talked with Shelley about this in the past, that these singers, these artists, they need to work a lot to hone their craft.
They haven't paid their dues.
You know.
Right. Well, you know what? I think you have a lot more respect and a lot more appreciation for it when you get it. And nowadays, the instantaneous, you know, way things happen, that it's quickly lost also, you know, and here today, gone tomorrow, I think, with a lot of them. And making a lot of bad choices.
We're living in a time where the young people want instant gratification. They want it now. And then they move on to something else. And the MTV came in. It changed, you know, people's kind of concentration with one thing. just a fast edits in the music videos. So, like, the kids are watching things, you know, it's 15, 20 seconds, and they move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
They do that with everything.
Yes.
And it's just changed, you know, the world. And I think because of that, there's not enough time for quality in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of quantity has taken over. You know, more, more, more. Just give me more, more. And
pandered to the masses, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think when we talk about quality, I should mention this, that Shelley Leibowitz put this wonderful music collection, which is still available, with rock and jazz and country and blues artists that he put together for Wildlife Educational Services, for our organization. And if you make a $20 donation or more, you can donate whatever you'd like. In fact, Mrs. Swihart was so lucky enough to get one of these because she made a wonderful donation before she became a part of our broadcast mecca here. And
before you knew about the big mouth, I really have.
It was such an impressive collection of music, I mean, from Elvis Presley. Do you have a favorite artist? I mean, who of all the people that you met, who blew you away the most when you first heard them or met them? Or
gee, that's a tough one because I started working with Sammy when I was 15.
I would want to ask that.
The couple of people, like Harry Nilsson, amazed me. This is his talent.
Oh my!
He had an amazing voice with five octave range. You know, that was just amazing. But you know, Sinatra always blew me away.
Yeah.
There's so many people. This, you know, like Sammy Davis Jr. was just so talented in so many areas. He did it all. You know, he just did it all. Sing, dance, act, tell jokes, do whatever he needed to do. And he was just an all-around talent because he started working from the time he was a little kid.
Yeah.
Those people learned so differently. And Ella is almost it's like she didn't have to try. That's just the way it looked. But she never thought she was good enough. I remember once she came up stage after a five encores, and she said, you think they like me tonight?
But you know what? That's what made her. That's what makes her so likable. I mean, that's what makes. I mean, those kind of people are the people I like the most. You know, that humbleness and that it's really neat.
Well, I found quite often that the people who are that good are never satisfied with the work. They always think they could be better, so they work hard at it. They rehearse a lot. They work. You know, it's not some kid who's going to record a song in his bedroom on a computer and think he should be a star, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just very genuine. That's really neat. I don't know. I now want to go on
it's
to
a funny thing,
YouTube and listen to her.
There's a funny thing. Let me interrupt you for a second. Part of what went on in a lot of years with those people working so hard, they're working different circuits. Groucho Marx told me that him and his brothers could do the same acts for 4 or 5 years. This was no TV. And by the time they get around to the same town after playing the whole country, every small little vaudeville house, it was still new. He said, so we had time to concentrate, to work on stuff, to improve it, to fine-tune it. So you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
They're pushing everybody too quickly. And part of that is, you know, that the music industry isn't run by music people anymore.
You're right. It's run by executives. It's, the dollar is the most important factor in developing talents.
They just call it churn and burn. You know, to get as much stuff from as many young people as possible. if they mm-hmm. can get it or pre-record it, they grab it. They put it some of it out, and majority of it doesn't go anywhere. And once it do go someplace, they charge back every cent they spent on it. So, you know, you can have an album that sells 5 million copies and it's not making any money.
Yeah.
Because it costs so much to produce.
No, it's because the majors will charge everything back. They'll charge all the advertising back to them. Every bit of marketing, every bit of PR. And they'll spend a couple of $1 million on an artist that starts to take off. But they don't sign them for longer contracts. The contracts are very short now.
Yeah.
And any artist that sales dip below 150,000 units, they drop them.
Hmm.
That's what happened with groups like Metallica and a lot of other groups, you know, with Egyptian Starship. They had an album that dipped under that level, and then it would drop immediately. Meanwhile, they still have a fan base that wants product.
Mhm.
Well, it's a kind of a rough industry.
You know, when you have a couple of major companies running the music industry, you basically do, and they also control radio, so they can make sure that they monopolize radio. If you look at playlists, you know, and the programming companies, that programming and record companies, you can see the patterns. And then you go to the guys that normally, you know, you can pay to get stuff played,
mm-hmm.
you know, who know the right people to grease. And for, you know, and the one station, it's $50,000 a place on one time.
Demon at Christmas.
You know. It's some of the things that go on, you know. There's always exceptions to every rule, you know, because if an artist gets a good following going by themselves before they get started, then they have the following. That helps them a lot. But that also means that they've been working.
Well, and now the artists, in the olden days, I should say, they would tour to promote the records, and that's where they made their money. Now they tour.
Well, it's still a case.
Is it?
You know, if you have a hit record, and top 40, you're making minimum $75,000 every time you have an appearance.
Hmm.
So it's anywhere from $75,000 up to $500,000. Per performance.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, well, the way ticket prices are now, though, oof.
Well, yeah, the tickets are extraordinary. I mean.
Yes.
The Beatles, when they came and toured in 64 here in Indianapolis, I think the ticket prices were $3, $4, and $5.
Yeah.
That's pretty hard to imagine.
You know, you can't even, a family can hardly go anywhere. Tickets are unbelievable anymore. So when you say that, you know, they're making anywhere minimum 75, you know, 1,000, whatever, yeah, a lot of them way more, have to be, you know, way more. Of course, their shows are getting pretty extravagant too, but.
Well, it's a combination of things, other things as well. The agents, you know, keep pushing the prices up because they want their 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And a higher price, the more they're making. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
a lot of middlemen.
Yeah. Yeah.
The interesting thing to me was the Rolling Stones, before they went out on the road and they were promoting the new album, where they just showed up all of a sudden unadvertised at a local bar that has music.
That's really cool.
Because the guys wanted to be that close to the audience to get that kind of action, reaction.
Yeah. And
Bruce Springsteen does the same thing.
Yeah.
So the Stones are going out and do what was it, 8 shows for $30 million to get paid? Yeah.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, and that's hardly affordable for the average person anymore.
It's just, you know, you have a few companies controlling all the venues. You know, so they can decide who can plays in town and who doesn't. You know, in any city.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of companies that, you know, it's like monopolies, you know. And they're just letting it happen.
Yeah.
Right,
so what's it going to be like in the future?
Well, and you had Pearl Jam years ago. They decided they thought that the company Ticketmaster was just ripping everybody off, so they were going to try and promote the concerts, and it didn't work.
But they were right.
Yeah, they were right.
Yeah.
Because of the service fees and so forth that get tacked on for basically printing a ticket.
The band would say we want to keep the prices down, you know, like $15-$20, and Ticketmaster people would say okay, and you buy the ticket, and then there was like another $15-$20 in fees.
Yeah, and you know that you have to print your own out now. Shoot, they don't even send them to you anymore. You have to print them out yourself. So what are they charging those fees for? Yeah, I mean we always have to print our own now. I don't know. But we allow it. We allow it. We all buy those things. We all do that. And then we allow that to happen. It's a cycle. It's hard to, you know.
When you let these people dictate, they're going to do whatever's best for them, not you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you make it in this industry, Shelley, having such a good spirit and such a good guy?
I got started at a good time. You know, it was the early 60s. I had family in the business, so I got, you know, a few doors open for me.
Yeah.
And I was lucky because, you know, I was working at one point in time I was working at Roulette Records. And at the same time, working with the Rat Pack, you know. And Morris Levy on Roulette Records said to me, where are you going this weekend? I said, I'm going to Vegas with Sammy. He said, oh, my God. He says, you know what? I want to sign Count Basie. I want to sign a tilt to Roulette. He said, would you help me? You know, that's the way he said, yeah, you hate kids. You got to do this, you know. So, you know, the openings of that and being able to be exposed to so much music if you really wanted to. If you weren't concerned about just working at 9 to 5, you know, during the day we were producing stuff like, you know, Joey D and the Songwriters and so many different acts that happened at the time, Tony James and Sean Bells and all those stuff. And then at night we went Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah.
You know, it's different times.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Shelley, it's always great when you join us on the show. We appreciate your time. Just an honor to know you and some of the great stories that you've told on our program. And we just consider you such a friend of the show. It's just wonderful.
You know how I feel about all of this. Anytime you want me, I'm on.
Hey, you know
and
what?
Maybe for some people who are listening, maybe they may want to make a donation and have it as a Christmas gift.
There you go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It'd be wonderful because it's a fantastic download. I mean, Rare Elvis and
Elvis has never been released.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a fantastic collection. So.
It's a must.
It's a must.
Yeah, great
holiday gift.
Yeah, great holiday gift is absolutely right. So we're going to make sure we get that out there and let everyone know with the kindness of SRI Records and Shelley Leibowitz. And wonderful show, Dr. Day.
How could it not be wonderful? We had Shelley Leibowitz on tonight.
Yes.
My heart. I mean, come on.
Yes. That's right.
I was a little uncomfortable.
What was
it? I must have been sitting on something.
Oh, no.
There we go. We're gonna finish off the night with Shelley Leavitt with his latest find, his great talent from South America. It's Egberto, right?
Egberto Garcia.
Egberto Garcia. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And this has been Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio, After the Hour. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See you later, Shelley.
Have a good one.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see how spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me.
One, two.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see how spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. You're gonna fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I love. Oh, what I worship and adore. Oh, in other words, baby, I love you.
Descarga, maestro. Aplauso para Roberto.
Love you.